Oh my days, it's Friday. That's crazy. That's the last day of camp. Apart from tomorrow, which isn't a full day. It's a partial day. But I'm already a little bit heartbroken because I found out this morning that we don't get porridge tomorrow morning. I'm just glad the Lord understands all things. He'd be gutted too. Great porridge. Fantastic porridge this week. So guys, that means it's the last talk this morning in this particular little series. So it's the last time that we get to sing together. Ba 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 da ba ba da ba da. Let's do it one more time. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fantastic. Hey, have you enjoyed this little mini nugget series in the morning? Has it been alright, like? Has it been cool? I really enjoyed doing it, man. It's one of them little things, like, and I found so many more buts in the Bible this week that I could do it again and again and again. Maybe one day I'll write a book called The Best Buts in the Bible and get arrested. I don't know. But either way, it's been fantastic. The last one we're going to look at this morning is Paul. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, to be fair to him. Absolute legend. The guy used to hate Christians so much that he used to get them rounded up, put in jail, killed, stuff like that. And Jesus came, changed his life, gave him a second chance, and turned him into one of the best preachers the world has ever seen. And he just went around starting churches everywhere. And one of the churches he started was in a place called Galatia. And I'm going to tell you a bit about what he wrote. This has been at different points in my life. I can't say anymore what my favorite verse in the Bible actually is, but I know that this one, at different points in my life, has been my favorite verse in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you a little story before I tell you what the verse is. And it's a story of my stag day, okay? I've been married for 7 brilliant years now, and what are you laughing for? Were you there? What's that? Stag day. There's a lot of unfortunate stories about my stag day, but this is probably the worst one. My best friend is a guy called Luke Hodge. Who was here last year? You know Pete Hodge was speaking? That's Pete's son. I'm best mates with Pete's son called Luke. And me and Luke together, a little bit like, you know, mixing two chemicals that explode. So we were, you know, on his stag day, because he got married several years before me, I thought it'd be funny, because we went white water rafting in North Wales. So I thought it'd be funny, in North Wales, to drag him out of the minibus and gaffer tape him to a climbing frame in a car park and leave him in North Wales. So I did. Along with the help of a lot of other people. And so he was saying that, like, ever since then, he said, when you get married, watch out. And so he'd been plotting for years. So on my stag day, we went go-karting in Newport. They've got a really good like indoor karting center in Newport. And I didn't win the go-karting. You probably picked up by now from my football performances and my just general stories. I'm not generally a winner in that sense of the word. I often come not quite the winner. And so I didn't win, but it's all right because I was getting married. But after I finished the race, something really bad happened. Luke started his plan, which involved about 20 of my mates jumping on me, stripping me, putting a pink dress on me, and tying me up with zip ties around my ankles and my wrists so tight that I was actually crying, because it was that, like literally, like it was like a proper kidnapping. They then threw me in the boot of a Volvo estate on my face, and the plan was they were going to take me to the Isle of Wight and leave me there. In a wheelchair. The problem was, is I was in so much pain, I was literally crying. Now, it's not a hard thing to admit, but I got arthritic ankles, and I was in pain. So they took mercy on me, and they left a field in Gloucestershire in a wheelchair, rather than all the way to the Isle of Wight. I think they've sort of probably appreciated not having to spend that much on fuel as well. But here's the point. I managed to get my hands free, which was great, so I started kicking off in the back of this car because I had my hands free. I started swinging punches and stuff as you would, you know, in a loving way, of course, because I was a Christian. And so at the 7 services station, they had to try and rectify the situation. So they stopped the car in the 7 services, motorway service station. They pulled me out of the boot in my pink dress. My ankles were still completely tied together. And there's all these people with their families pulling up on the way to or from holiday. And I was there going, come on! And then I was crawling along the floor, trying to get back to my feet, trying to get them. My ankles still tied together. It was a horrible scene. And like, it was so frustrating because I was absolutely shackled by zip ties. Zip ties are nasty because they just, You can only pull them tighter unless you've got a little pin or something. And I had about 20 on my ankles and about 20 around my wrist, which I managed to get off. And this is the point, guys. When you're shackled by something, it completely ruins your life. I mean, the fact that I looked like a skinhead girl didn't help either, because I had this little pink dress on and there's all these photographs floating around the world. It's terrible. But guys, we are shackled by so many things, and like it just stops us living the life that God wants us to live. And it's a funny story with a serious implication. There's so many of us are bound by things. Some of us are bound by anger. Well, I was an angry young man. If you ask my parents what I was like before I became a Christian, and possibly for a few years after, I was angry. I used to regularly hit walls and just lash out at people and just lash out. I was just angry. Some people are just like bound by, you know, the chains of the past. We've looked at that a bit this week. Some people are bound by just a negative self-image. They look at themselves and they just don't like themselves. And they can't get past that. And we can live as slaves, not with physical chains on our hands and feet, but with chains on our soul that mean that we just don't get through this life the way that God wants us to get through this life. And the promise of the Bible is that Christ, as we looked at last night, when it said it is finished, he's busted the jail doors open and he wants to give us freedom. The Bible says it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. If you're a Christian, that's yours to claim and to own this morning. And if you're not a Christian, that can be yours if you turn to Jesus. Paul wrote this amazing thing. And because of like my past and because of some of the things that I've done and I've struggled with in my life, that's why I love this verse. Check out this verse, which is our butt this morning. Paul wrote to this church in Galatia. They were bound by chains of religion. They couldn't get past the fact that, like, you know, that God wasn't happy with just them. They thought they had to just do loads of stuff, and they were getting frustrated because of it. And Paul said this: "So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." Do you know what? For me, it's enough that I no longer have to be a slave. It's enough that I have seen in my life as a Christian that God has the power and the will to break the chains that were binding my life. Although I got a skinhead, I don't get anything like as angry as I used to get. I do get vexed and frustrated sometimes, but I don't get angry. I don't hit things anymore. I don't just like lash out. I don't hate myself like I used to. The chains have been broken. If you're a Christian, you need to know that you can walk in absolute freedom today. It's yours as a right. Back in the, and I call them the dark days, when America was still like trafficking slaves over from Africa. And then you've heard the story of Amazing Grace, the film, when basically slave trafficking got stopped in Britain. Eventually it reached America, but there was an entire generation of African Americans who were slaves in America. And one day the law was passed that slavery is no longer acceptable in America. But what the problem was, you had all these slaves who knew no other life apart from slavery. They were told, "You're not a slave anymore." And they said, "You're free to go." But they didn't know how to live as anything other than slaves. And for many of them, they didn't move on with their lives. They just couldn't get their heads around the fact that they're free. And guys, you need to know that you are no longer a slave if you're in Jesus Christ. You can leave this building this morning just in absolute assurance that the zip ties on your life have been cut, that the chains have been smashed to pieces. The Bible is full of beautiful images of the chains being ripped off the prisoner, the prisoners being set free, the chains that bind you on the inside, that stop you living the life that God wants you to live, the life that you want to live. You haven't got to wear those chains anymore. It's an amazing truth. Hands up this morning if it excites you that you're no longer a slave. Is anyone buzzing about that this morning? I'm buzzing about that because I'm not the man I was, and I have a freedom in my life that I never used to have. But it's not just that we're no longer a slave. That's great. Check this out. You're no longer a slave. The chains have been broken. But you are a son. Now you girls can get a bit vexed about that. What do you mean? I don't want to be a son. I want to be a daughter. I've got to be the bride of Christ, so work with me on this, all right? All right, you might have to wear a pair of jeans to be a son, but I've got to wear a chuffing dress, so just like work with me on this, okay? The Bible says we're going to be the bride of Christ as Christians, so it swings both ways, Dutch door action. Here we go. So, you're no longer just free from the chains that bound you, but can I just encourage you to actually engage with what I'm saying? You are adopted into God's family. Like, listen, let me read to you what comes just before this verse, because this is rock and roll. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, that's Jesus, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem, that means to set free, those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You guys are great. I've had a fantastic week this week on camp. I mean, you know, I can't adopt you all. Not that any of you would want to be adopted by me. You see my dog, you wouldn't want to even come near my house probably. But I think you're great. But what I do know is this. I don't think you're as great as my kids. There's a different relationship between me and my children to me and you. When we have a family day, me and Michelle and the kids, at least one day a week, we have a day where we just like turn off our phones and go and have a family day and just say we're just going to be together and love life together. And like one of the things we love doing is having a lazy morning, having breakfast in bed, and then Ellen and Josiah will come into the bed and snuggle up and we watch a, you know, Madagascar or something, watch a film together in bed. Any of you ever come to my house and try and snuggle up in bed with me? It's going to get ugly. Do you know why? Because you're not my family. You're not my children. You're my friends. But guys, with God, you don't only get the privilege that your chains have been broken. You get the closeness, the intimacy. You get the, what you know, my kids, they just come and they jump on me and they love, you know, and they love me and they're secure around me. And I love that. I love that, you know, that there's no fear there because perfect love drives out fear. I want you guys to know that there's freedom from the past, freedom from the chains, but just freedom from fear. There is intimacy. There is family. You become God's children when you come to Christ. And you are accepted. The Bible says that God sends his spirit into your hearts to cry out, Abba, Father. The word Abba isn't just some cheesy 70s Swedish pop group, which sings songs like Dancing Queen and all that, which I think Reese and Dave and Tim have kind of modeled their life on after last night. Each one could be known as the Dancing Queen, but it was a great performance, boys. Fantastic. Swan Lake would be proud. But the Spirit himself comes into your life, comes and dwells in you, and causes you to cry out Abba, which is like a Jewish word for daddy. Like, I am Ellen's Abba. Do you know what I mean? My dad, he's kind of my Abba, but he's also my old man now, because, like, you know, the relationships change a bit. But Ellen, I'm a daddy. And she still calls me daddy. And I love it. You know, there's a few things that, whatever goes on in my life, right? I'm a pastor of a church, and a lot of crazy stuff goes down in my life because of the people that I work with and the stuff I'm confronted with. But nothing stops me loving the fact that my kids come up to me, and they hug me, and they embrace me, and they call me daddy, and they're secure with me. I want them to know that no matter what's going on in daddy's life, it's not going to affect them. Because I'm their dad. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to look after them. I'm going to make sure they're okay. That's what God wants for you guys. He wants you to be free. But he also wants you to be secure. He wants you to be safe. And this whole passage was written about, like, what role a son has in, like, the family life. Now, it's not quite the same these days. But back in those days, the son, especially the eldest son, they were the ones that inherited everything that the father owned when the father died. They were the heir of the family, if you like. And it might not sound fair to you girls, but if you were the oldest girl, but you had a younger brother, your younger brother got the cash because that's how it worked back in our culture. That's why it uses the word son, because the son was the one that got the cash. Don't work like that these days anymore. But listen, because we're God's sons, not the son of God with a big S, but God's children, we inherit all that the father has. There's nothing in my life that I wouldn't share with my kids. There's nothing in my house that's not theirs. I do try and encourage them not to smash my computer up, but it doesn't mean that they can't use a computer. It just means that there's boundaries for them to use a computer. But there's nothing which I own that I don't want to share with them because I love them. And guys, the resources and the inheritance of heaven itself is yours if you're in Christ. What a radical change from being a slave in sin and just like, you're broken and not able to just like break free of the things that were destroying your life. To come into the cross and come into Jesus and seeing that your bonds had been cut and you were free to live a life that you were created for. And to realize that not only were you set free, but you were accepted into the most awesome, the most crazy, the most brilliant family that there ever was, the family of God, and all that God has, the resources of heaven itself are available to you and me because of what Christ has done. You are no longer a slave, but a son. Let's live in the reality of that, yeah? Let's live like we're free, let's live like we're grateful, and let's live like we belong to the greatest dad in the world. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you that you didn't want to leave us in chains, but you broke the chains on the cross. And by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, you come and you inhabit us and you change us, and you've made us God's children. Lord, some of us just need to know what it is to be able to get under the duvet with you and snuggle. We just need to know what it is to be able to just come into your presence and just be cool and not have to say anything and not have to prove ourselves, but just to enjoy the security of knowing you as our dad and our father and our friend. Some of us, Lord, we just need that protection. We need to know that you're going to look out for us because no one else will. Some of us need to know your perfect love driving out fear. God, this week as we've looked at the cross, thank you so much for all that you're teaching us, all that you're showing us. Thank you that we're never going to run out of reasons to say thank you. We're never going to run out of wonder because of who you are and what you've done. I pray for my friends, God, here this morning. May they know true freedom. May they know the joy of living as your children. In Jesus' name.